Welcome to episode 75. I'm Stuart McCullough. I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, there are now a number of proposals that are being considered by community health members to bring bargaining to a conclusion, including for allied health professionals, medical scientists, including audiologists, dietitians, and psychologists. Drafting continues with regards to the health and allied managers and administrative employees. A big thanks to all of our community health members who have participated throughout that process and have attended our meetings, including providing valuable feedback as we've proceeded. There's still some more work to do with regards to community health bargaining, but we have made some significant progress in the last few weeks. With respect to our health services, there are some activities occurring this week, including a CWMS reference group meeting on Monday, as well as a dental reference group that same day. There's biomedical engineering bargaining on Tuesday, and we're meeting with the rural and regional HR and IR managers on the Wednesday. I did want to make some reference to our rural and regional forums, the dates for which have now been released. And those dates are, on the 7th of September, we will be in Wodonga. On the 13th of September, we will be in Lawn. On the 21st of September, we'll be in Bairnsdale. The 25th of September, we're in Echuca. And we're in Stawell on the 4th of October. A key focus for the regional forums will be the agreement review process. This will be a great opportunity for our rural and regional members to ask any questions that they have, but also, more importantly, to contribute to the review process, in particular identifying those matters that are likely to impact rural and regional members more than metropolitan members. It's also worth mentioning, obviously, there are changes that are proposed to the Safe Patient Care Act. There have been announcements made by the government and the Premier, including the identification of a proposal to abolish the current rounding rule. In terms of the areas identified for ratios and changes to ratios, they include palliative care, maternity services, emergency departments, in particular resuscitation beds, acute oncology, haematology, and acute stroke. It is likely that some ratios will be consistent where they're being introduced. They'll be consistent with existing practices, but there'll also be some changes and some workforce demands arising from adjustments to ratios and the abolition of the rounding rule. We understand that there is a process of consultation occurring, and we look forward to being able to say more about the Safe Patient Care Act amendments in due course. As always, all of our activities are summarised through the VHAA community app. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Are you seeing it your way? Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion is the Manager of Workplace Relations Services and part-time potato farmer, Tim Nagel. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Stuart. Good to be here.
Tim, would you do the honours and reveal the clue for this week's discussion?
Sure.
So you may need to hold that up for the benefit of those people who are watching, and for the benefit of those people who are listening to this podcast, could you describe the object?
It's a book.
Well done.
Entitled Reminiscences of Life in the Country Roads Board.
Excellent. This is a fantastic book which features a lot of tall stories and, frankly, some incredibly defamatory statements with regards to former employees of the Country Roads Board, which then became the Road Construction Authority and then became Vic Roads. It's a fantastic book in the sense that it includes its own CRB poem, which is a poem that was written in 1935 by Frank Allen and is just about the Country Roads Board. But the point of this book is it's all about reviewing the past. And sometimes it's important to look back at the past, particularly if you want to have an eye to improvement for the future. And of course, that brings us to today's subject, which is?
Librarian classifications.
I can understand why you might think that, given that it is a book as such, but unfortunately you are tragically wrong. So we're talking about review, and that's the process of looking backwards, but also having an eye to how it is that we can improve our agreements as we move forward into the bargaining that we'll start in just over 12 months' time.
What is the review process?
So you might recall that we've talked a lot about the four stages of bargaining. And so the four stages of bargaining are the bargaining process itself, implementation, review and planning. Members will have noted that in the monthly IR report that we distribute ahead of the HR-IR manager meetings and that we post on the app and is available to all members, that we divide the various agreements up into those four stages. It's how we direct our activities. So once an agreement is approved, we spend some time, usually about a year, working on implementation issues.
So they don't all happen at once?
No, these are sequential steps during the life of an agreement. So it's a way of ensuring that our agreements are subject to continuous improvement. Think of it this way. Most of our agreements run for 4 years. Mm. And each stage of bargaining effectively represents 1 year of the life of that agreement.
So not all our current agreements are in the review phase?
No, not at all. So some of our agreements, and you'll see this in the IR report, some are in the bargaining phase because they're still being negotiated, or they're yet to go to a vote. Examples of that include the biomedical engineers agreement.
So still in the bargaining phase?
Yeah, it is. And in terms of the implementation phase, we had the medical scientists agreement, for example, was approved at the end of last year. That agreement is in the implementation phase. Recently, the doctors agreements were approved and are coming to operation this week. And those will be the subject to an implementation phase for a period of time.
So which of our agreements are in the review phase?
So there are four. And those four agreements are the Nurses and Midwives Agreement, the Mental Health Agreement, the Allied Health Professionals Agreement, and the Health and Allied Services Agreement. And you'll note if you go onto the web page and open up the landing page for each of those agreements, you'll see the fact that there's been implementation activity with regards to each of them. For instance, they'll have their implementation plan, there'll be materials related to the EBA forums that we've done for each of those, there'll be various guides, and we will have done podcasts. So we've done a range of activities to support the implementation of those agreements. They now move into that review phase.
So you've stated that the review phase is about continuous improvement. What does that mean in a practical sense?
It means a few things. Firstly, we know that during the life of an agreement, some terms emerge as being unclear, impractical, or being the subject of a dispute.
And why would a term of the agreement be unclear?
So our enterprise agreements have a lot of inherited terms. That is, terms that are included in the current agreement solely because it was included in the last agreement and was included in the agreement before that and before that. And oftentimes it stretches all the way back to the state-based awards. And obviously those terms may not have been the subject of any scrutiny or attention or consideration as to whether they're understandable and whether people have a common understanding as to what those terms mean.
So you're talking about long-standing terms or clauses. What's wrong with having long-standing terms in the agreement?
There's nothing inherently wrong with having long-standing terms, but sometimes we have a circumstance where a clause has been rolled over repeatedly and that nobody knows what the clause means. The meaning gets lost in the mists of time, and that defeats the purpose of having an agreement. That is, the parties don't agree on what the clause means. When a clause is really old and has been rolled over time and time again, or comes from an old state award, it's probably not expressed in a contemporary, simple way.
So what's an example of that?
So in the last round, we reviewed the nurses' agreement pretty closely and did a lot of redrafting. So we'll just pop up on screen a term of the 2012 to 2016 version of the Nurses Agreement, the Clause 15, which concerns part-time employees. And you'll see there That is one heck of a paragraph.
It's a tough read.
It is, and it's an example of a term that will reach, at least in part, all the way back to the old award. And what you'll notice is that it's structured in a fairly awkward way, not just as a whole, but even the individual sentences are structured in quite an awkward way. And the observation I would make is that there was a tendency, certainly under the old state awards, to structure sentences in that slightly awkward way, rather than presenting the elements of a sentence in the most logical way possible.
So what do you mean?
So let's just get the last sentence that I spoke up on the screen. So there it is. Rather than being written in the most logical and direct way possible, the elements of the sentence are presented in a non-logical way. If I was trying to make that sentence sound more profound, I might say something like, the elements of the sentence are, rather than being written in the most logical and direct way possible, presented in a non-logical way. What's now happening is that the sentence is that the first element goes forward, the second element goes backward, and the third element goes forward again. It's less certain because of the order in which the words appear. That's true of a lot of our agreements.
Is there a term for that sort of writing?
So I'm not sure whether there's an official term for that kind of drafting, but the approach for me, where you take a sentence and order it in a non-logical way to make it sound more important and profound, if there's an exponent of that, it would have to be this guy.
So you think Yoda's to blame?
So correction there, Tim. The proper way to ask that question is, Yoda is to blame, you think. What we want to do is de-Yodify our agreements. Expressing things better, more logically, helps the meaning of the clauses to be clearer.
And what other issues arise from long-standing clauses?
One of the other issues that we get with long-standing provisions that haven't been the subject of attention or review is that the world changes and the clause does not change along with it.
Is there an example of that?
Absolutely. So let's go back again to the 2012 Nurses and Midwives Agreement, and let's get another clause up on screen. This is Clause 48, Payment of Salaries, and Subclause 3. So members will see that there on the screen, but for the benefit of those who are listening, I'll read it out. When an employee does not work a rostered period of duty between 10 a.m. on the Monday preceding the payday and the payday itself, payment may be postponed until that employee's next rostered period of duty, but the employee's salary shall be available for collection on the payday.
So what does that mean?
It means that if your ADO falls on a particular day of the week, you're entitled to go to the payroll office and demand to be paid in cash.
In cash. When was the last time someone was paid in cash under the agreement?
Well, probably not since the 1980s, but it's an example where the world has moved on, the agreement hadn't. Just for the benefit of those people for our payroll friends who may be listening or watching this, that provision has been removed from the current agreement, so you won't have anybody turning up to the payroll office and demanding to be paid in cash any time soon.
Is technology a theme in that respect?
Yeah, it is. So we also have clauses under our agreements with respect to the advertising of vacancies that predate the internet. And they were created at a time when the only option for advertising a vacancy was to take an ad out in a large newspaper, which was both time-consuming and costly.
Or post in the village square, I guess.
You could post a notice in the village square. I don't think that that method should be discounted entirely. There are a number of provisions in our agreements that predate computerised payroll systems, for example. What it means is that there's a disconnect between what the agreement says and what happens in practice, and that the distance between those two things has grown bigger over time.
Why else would we review a clause?
Quite simply because there's no agreement between the parties as to what the clause means. At a certain point, it becomes a matter of significant irony to refer to it as an agreement if it's disputed.
Has the review process begun?
Yeah, it has. But this is something that we'll be doing for a while, so there's plenty of time for members to make their contribution. So far what we've done is we've developed a list of clauses for review. We've then consulted with members through the overarching reference group and then with the various HR IR managers through our monthly meetings to develop that list further. And what it does, it develops, it identifies the matters for review and the proposed action that will occur. So I'll give you an example. There are some items that are agreement specific. There are some that are general. So an example of an agreement specific matter would be under the nurses agreement. We have clause 93, proposals to vary specific matters. These are the provisions that were left over from the old clause 42, which was predominantly about ratios. That now lives in the Safe Patient Care Act, but there are a few leftover items that still needed that facilitative provision. There have been disputes as to what kinds of changes need to be subject to that clause, including where an employer seeks to end a 12-hour shift agreement. Another example, clause 70, long service leave, particularly with respect to the mixed modes of employment, which has been a source of heartache and complexity for members. There's the Don on Every Campus provision at clause 90.3, which is indifferent to small rural sites that are in effect no larger than a ward. We also need to consider how to make the agreement more fit for purpose regarding those services that are outside the traditional mode. Nurses don't just work in wards that operate 24 hours a day. They're in different kinds of services, and the current agreement doesn't really engage with those different kinds of services.
Are there examples of those types of services?
Yeah, absolutely. Where work is done in a community setting, community health generally, and where there are advances in technology where it means that there are far fewer bed-based services than there may have been 20, 30, 40 years ago.
So there are some examples from the nurses' agreements. Are there any themes from the other agreements?
There were some themes in terms of the feedback that we've got to date from members. Firstly, to the extent that there are differences between the existing common clauses and various agreements, members want those differences removed.
So they want more commonality than the common clauses?
They want more commonality from the common clauses. Absolutely, it's not an unreasonable thing to expect. That means having consistent processes for clauses like consultation, discipline, dispute settlement, redundancy and union matters. We made a big step forward in getting greater commonality, but people want to take that work to the next logical step, which is uniformity.
And what else?
There's also a desire to amend those common clauses to better reflect the on-the-ground experience. Having now lived with these clauses for a while, some impracticalities have emerged.
Is that unusual?
Not at all. I think it's a standard part of the bargaining process. It's always the case that people will identify over time what can be amended to make a provision work better.
So is there a desire for greater commonality?
Yeah, there is, particularly in terms of procedural matters. So we've got one group of common clauses that were developed last time, but there's also a recognition that some clauses could be formatted in a more consistent manner to make it easier to apply the agreement. So consistent formatting across the agreements so the clauses look the same. We can make them more alike without necessarily having to make the underpinning entitlements identical.
And what would an example of that be?
Public holidays. There is no consistency across the clauses. However, whilst we may not get to uniformity, and indeed uniformity may not be desirable, less inconsistency would be helpful.
So you gave examples of review items under the nurses' agreement. What would be examples under the other agreements?
So on our list at the moment, and starting with, say, the Allied Health Professionals Agreement, there have been disputes about the advertising of vacancies clause at clause 91. There's also a meal break provision which requires a paid meal break for those doing shift work, but somewhat perversely, it actually reduces the likelihood of someone actually getting a meal break. There are a few clauses that are too difficult to read, and examples of that include fixed-term contracts, the clause regarding organisational change whilst on parental leave.
What happens to those clauses?
Well, we want to make them easier to read. Agreements should not be contemptuous of their audience. There are a couple of points under that Allied Health Professionals Agreement where it doesn't engage with employers or employees. It should be able to be understood by those who have to administer and those who are subject to that agreement.
How about the mental health agreement?
So the mental health agreement needs a lot of work across the board, and previously there have been provisions that say that the clause will be reviewed and modernised. But those clauses of themselves are now somewhat ancient, and that process has always failed. So what we need to do is make sure that the process for reviewing and modernising that agreement succeeds. Clause 24, for example, regarding retention and transition to retirement, has been identified as a clause as needing work, as has the night shift and public holidays provision, which has been the subject of disagreement already during the life of that agreement.
Now, I know that that's been raised in a recent MIC as well between the parties. How about the Health and Allied Agreement?
So under the Health and Allied Agreement, that's an example of one that really needs a review to take into account contemporary practices and technology. The superannuation clause does not expressly deal with choice of fund. The personal leave clause does not expressly countenance incremental accrual, even though incremental accrual of personal leave is the only way to ensure that part-timers who work additional shifts don't end up getting shortchanged where their hours vary. But perhaps the biggest piece of work that's been identified as requiring review has been the management and admin structure.
So what happens next?
So quite a lot. We'll be working through that list over the next few months. And the way that we'll do that is that we'll develop responses to those items and take them to the overarching reference group. But we'll also be coming back to our various other reference groups, including the payroll reference group and our HR and IR manager groups, to consult further. In September, we'll be conducting some regional forums, and the key focus for those regional forums this time around will be about review, because some of the items that are identified for review have a particular impact on our rural and regional members, and we'll talk about what the process should be to ensure that rural and regional members get input, get ownership, get a chance to contribute to that review process.
So what can members do?
What we want is for members to join in. Give us your feedback. Sometimes we'll be going to you with a survey in order to get some baseline information. Sometimes we will need information about how things work so that we can write the clause better to reflect contemporary practices. Sometimes it'll just be a redraft to see if it is clearer. But more than anything else, what we need is feedback from members. What we want is for you to attend a meeting, put a post on the app, join a reference group, come to a rural or regional forum. We want your input. The input from members is the only way that we can improve our agreements over time.
So there's 58 weeks till the nurses and midwives negotiations start?
You know, ideally we'd have a really large clock behind us that had not just the 58 weeks, but the seconds and the minutes just sort of
ticking down.
Yeah. We'll try and get that for next week, obviously. It's not that long. And what we really need to do is ensure that this review process is complete, that we move in then to the planning stage as we develop our logs of claim. But all of this activity is about a shift, a very deliberate shift for us, away from the sort of peaks of activity just around the bargaining, and that a dip in activity. It's about continuous activity to get continuous improvement.
And is it true to say that there is a potential slogan for the next round being "Make agreements great again"?
That is not true. That is a rumour. Well, I think the only way, that's really it for the review process. And perhaps the best way for us to conclude today is with a poem from the book Reminiscences of Life in the Country Roads Board. Perhaps I'll kick it off. They have carts and they have horses, and they bridge the watercourses. They can level out the wildest bushland track. It's a game that keeps them moving as the highways they're improving down mountain ridges, roadways they can hack. Tim, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Stuart.
Try to see things my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way.